Είστε παρέα με το SBS Ελληνικά. Βρείτε περισσότερες ενδιαφέρουσες ιστορίες στο sbs.com.au/greek.
The federal member for Reid, Ms. Fiona Martin, dear friends, is seeking a re-election in her seat in coming Saturday. Fiona Martin is of Greek background, and her Greek name is Fotini Barbouti. She was first elected in 2019, and her victory, one can say, was not so much expected, just like the victory of Scott Morrison then was not so much expected, and he had mentioned that it was a miracle. In any case, to have a better picture of how things are going for the Greek-Australian politician, 48, 72 hours before the election, we have her on the other line now, and she is driving. That's how busy she is. Fiona, hi, and thank you for finding the time, even while driving, to be with the Greek program of SBS Radio.
I've always had time for the Greek radio on SBS Radio. Tiganis, hello. Lovely to be on your program, and wonderful to talk to you today.
I hope I am not indiscreet if I ask you why you do not use more often your Greek surname so everyone can know that you derive from Australia's multicultural communities.
Ah, very good question. Well, obviously I grew up with Fotini Barbouti, but I use my married name now. And in fact, my birth name is in fact legally my middle name. So I do, on my documents, have Fotini Barbouti and then Martin on the end. I do let everybody know that I am proudly of Greek heritage. My yaya and papu were migrants to Australia. Papu came to Australia from Castellorizo in 1926. So his family, his brothers, came to Australia many decades ago now. And obviously we are descendants, proudly descendants, and of Greek heritage.
And I believe your father was playing football for Panhellenic.
Correct, yes. A great footballer, my dad. In fact, when my dad was very young, he had to make a very tough choice. He actually represented the state in cricket, but also soccer, and he had to make a decision between being a cricket player or a soccer player. He chose soccer in the end because he loves soccer, or should I say football. I grew up on the sidelines of many games down at Marrickville for Sydney Olympic or Panhellenic in the days. And I have grown up with a love of soccer as well, very much.
Now let's talk politics, Fiona. You entered politics 3 years ago. What prompted you to get actively into politics?
Yeah, well, I grew up, I actually studied politics at the University of Sydney, studied politics and psychology, both, and I joined the Young Liberals when I was at university. Actually, before I studied at university, I joined the Young Liberals. I really like being involved in the democratic process. I'm very passionate about democracy. I think it's very important for young people to be involved in the democratic process. And I felt that, you know, I wanted to join a young political movement, and I felt that the Liberal Party aligned very much with my values. And so I joined the Young Liberals when I was about 17, I think, roughly, and went on to study politics at the University of Sydney. Now, I didn't see it as a vocation, like a full career at that age. I saw it as more of a hobby, but I loved it. I really loved it very much, and I was always involved in some way, in some capacity involved in politics. But I chose to become a psychologist because I wanted to help people. Well, I was, you know, very much interested in mental health and curious about, you know, a range of different mental health conditions, about how we can treat and diagnose and cure, you know, people who are struggling and have difficulties. And I got great joy over 20 years helping people overcome problems. And I've set up my own small business. I ran clinics for 13 years, which I also very much loved. It's very hard running small business. You know, the long hours, the responsibility. It isn't easy, but it was also very rewarding as well, because it's like having another child in many ways, because you put so much into it and it grows. And, it, you know, you're very proud of it as it grows. And in my business did. I ran a very successful psychology clinic for that period, for 13 years. And I just felt the time came where I had achieved my professional goals of being a psychologist and having set up my business. And I really wanted to reform mental health care in Australia. And I also wanted to see more women in the federal parliament. And so when the opportunity came up, I put my hand up and said I would very much like to be, you know, represent the area I grew up in. And I was very fortunate to be the captain's pick in 2019. And, look, I had no idea about winning. I thought, you know, I'll put my hand up, I'll take the risk. You know, I'm very happy with my life running a business, very happy practicing as a psychologist, but I would be a great honour to represent my country and to represent Reed, which of course is one of the most multicultural seats in the entire nation. And so the last 3 years have been very busy because we've been dealing with so many natural disasters, but also of course the global pandemic, which has meant that we've been dealing with, you know, all sorts of issues like families being needing to be reunited with each other from one end of the world to the other end of the world, and having to deal with, you know, obviously lockdowns and getting people vaccinated and helping manage sort of, you know, the community. I set up a community cabinet with all our local mayors and community leaders so that we could make sure that we manage all of the area of Reed during that period. And I'm so proud of what Australians have achieved, both in terms of working together to get a really good outcome for Australia. I saw the other day the United States has surpassed 1 million deaths from COVID, which is a great tragedy. And I'm you know, very, very, very sad to hear that. And I think Australia, when you look at the big picture, has done a lot and achieved a lot to overcome what has been probably one of the most difficult times in our history.
Can I ask you, how has the experience been so far in politics?
Oh, it's a tough game, politics. It's not for the faint-hearted. You need to be very strong. You also need to know that sometimes, you know, when people make comments, they're not criticising you personally, per se. They're more criticising you in your position as a member of parliament. I know when I talk to the media, for example, when I was a psychologist, I was treated in a different way to when I'm treated as the federal member for Reed. So it's a very different. It's long hours. It's hard work. But it's also extremely rewarding to represent your community and to help people on a much larger scale.
There were one or two instances where you had to go against the official line, if we can say that, of your party, the Liberals. What were those instances, and how did you overcome the challenge within your party?
Well, you know, in the Liberal Party, there isn't you don't have to all vote as a bloc. We do have the right to a conscience vote, which, you know, you're entitled to. And I'm very lucky that, you know, I'm thinking of recent times, you know, where I've had to stand up in party room. Look, at the end of the day, we all represent different seats. So not every seat, you know, has the same views and ideas as others. In terms of the demographics, in terms of the issues. So every seat is different in terms of its makeup. So, you know, we all represent different issues. And so, you know, for what the issues are in one seat and what the issues in another seat. But I've stood up in party room to talk about issues that matter to Reed on a number of occasions. And most recently, of course, you know, I was one of a small group of MPs who crossed the floor on the amendments to the Sex Discrimination Act. So I support the religious discrimination bill, and I fully support protecting people of faith. It's very important to do so. But I didn't want to support the amendments to the Sex Discrimination Act, which would put vulnerable young people at risk of suicide, which I've been, you know, working towards all my life as a psychologist, protecting people who are at risk of killing themselves. You know, I'm very passionate about protecting people who have mental illness and people who are vulnerable and people who are at risk. And so I'm very proud, as a politician, to be consistent with the values that I held prior, but also consistent with my professional practice as a psychologist. Having saved so many lives in private practice, working with vulnerable young people. So my commitment going forward is to ensure that we do get this piece of legislation through, but just finding the right balance between protecting people of faith, which is so important, as well as protecting those who are most vulnerable in our community, those people who are at risk of suicide. I couldn't be more passionate about both.
Fiona, I know you are currently campaigning heavily.
Yes.
And that is why you're talking to us whilst driving. But I want to ask you the following question. Let's say you are campaigning at Strathfield Station or Burwood Station for that matter, and a constituent passes through and and gives you 2 to 3 minutes of their valuable time. That's all they can give you. How do you convince them to vote for you and for the Liberal Party? What do you say to them?
Well, I think it's important at this point for people to understand that it's been a very, very difficult time in Australia's history. I think it's important for people to know that compared to other advanced nations around the world, Australia is doing very well, and that we are all so lucky to live in Australia. We are so fortunate. We're so fortunate because we still have, despite having gone through economic difficulties because of the pandemic, we still have a AAA credit rating in Australia. Now, what that means is that we value having a strong economy, and it's because without a strong economy, we can't fund the essential services that we all rely upon. A strong economy means that we can fund health services, put more medicines on the PBS, you know, medicines that are subsidised by the government. We can also fund education. We can fund mental health services and so forth. So it's incredibly important at this, you know, really turning point in our history that we manage our economy very well. Now, the Leader of the Opposition has never held an economic portfolio, never held a finance portfolio or a treasury portfolio, and he's never been a foreign minister. And at a time where we really need to be careful with our economic situation, I think it's important that we have someone leading the country who knows what the cash rate is, who knows what the unemployment rate is, who understands and has experience in managing the national economy. And I think that Scott Morrison is the only logical choice for his leadership. At a time when we need to be very careful with our money to ensure that we continue to fund all those essential services, we must have someone who understands how to manage a national economy. So I think it's a really clear choice for people. When they're going into the booth, they need to think about those things. Now, for people in Reid, I think it's important for them to understand that they've got somebody in me who's worked consistently hard for 3 years. Because of COVID, I've had to do a lot of digital and Zoom meetings, and of course we've all had to do that. But I haven't stopped over those 3 years. I've worked tirelessly, and of course being a federal member of parliament means that you're in Canberra a lot, so it is difficult to be on the ground and around as much as, say, local mayors and state members are, who are in their state all the time. But I haven't stopped working for the people of Reid. I have not stopped the whole time. And I've delivered on projects like the Concord Oval development, which is about to be open very soon, Cremoyne Oval redevelopment, and we've also allocated additional funds for that. coming soon, at least where they're elected. St. Luke's Oval, Hudson Park at Strathfield, Strathfield Park, all these open green spaces that were very important to us during lockdown, we've invested in. We've invested not just in terms of making them, you know, nice to be in, the parkland, but also we've invested in amenity blocks for our local sporting clubs, from the grassroots soccer clubs and cricket clubs and netball clubs and AFL clubs to the professional athletes as well. And, of course, Reed is a very sporty seat. We're the home of the Sydney Olympic Games with Sydney Olympic Park. We have so much to offer in Reed. So many suburbs in Reed, Drummoyne, Five Dock, Concord, just to name a few, Strathfield and Burwood. And, you know, we're just very lucky to have such a wonderful, you know, infrastructure as well. WestConnex is one of the big M4, M5 interchange. These are all the things that a Liberal government has delivered on during this term, in addition to, you know, dealing with a global pandemic and a number of natural disasters. So I'm looking forward to continuing to serve the people of Reed, and I'm sure that, you know, people can see a difference in the candidates as well. I've worked for 20 years as a psychologist and 13 years in small and family business. I do have experience. I know what a BAS statement looks like, and I know what it's like to run a small business. And there are 30,000 people in Reed who have small and family businesses, hard-working, aspirational people who want to get ahead, and I want them to do well. I don't want to take... The Liberal government wants them to do well. We don't want to tax them more. We want to give them tax cuts. We want their businesses to do well so that we can all do well. So I'm looking forward to delivering again for another 3 years, and I hope that the people of Reed can see that I've worked consistently hard and will deliver again for them for another 3 years.
I know the only poll that counts is the one on election day.
Yes.
But as an election tool, what are the predictions for your seat right now?
Well, this time 3 years ago, the polls were pretty similar, in the sense that they, you know, showing a very close... actually, no, it wasn't. So I was behind, and then I came through towards the end, but it became very close. So I don't trust polls. The only poll, like you said, is the one on election day. I think it is a very close race, so I think every vote matters, and that's why, you know, during daylight, I'm there helping and talking to people, and making sure that they, you know, can re-elect me and also the Liberal National Government to ensure that we can deliver further for the people of Australia.
Your seat is one of the most ethnically diverse.
Yeah.
How many of your constituents are of Greek background? Do we know?
Well, we don't have recent data, unfortunately. So we're basing it on very old research. But there is roughly 10,000 people of Greek heritage in the electorate of Reed. And give or take, you know, people move in and out. So that's not a huge number, but it's certainly a lovely, very strong, proud Greek community. And of course, you know, it ties into neighbouring seats where there are larger Greek communities as well, neighbouring Watson and neighbouring seats like Randler and, of course, the seat of Sydney. So there is a large Greek community. In fact, there are Greeks all over Sydney. I've got relatives down in the seat of Cook as well, where our Prime Minister is. And, of course, over in Wentworth, where a large number of the Castlereagh community is. So there are Greeks all over Sydney, but I certainly have a very very tight-knit, close community that are very much tied to the local Greek Orthodox Church in Burwood, St. Nectarius.
Yeah. In total, how many are the constituents in Reed?
There are approximately somewhere between 112,000 and 113,000 people who vote, who are eligible to vote. So the last election was of approximately 112,000. We've had more people move in. mostly around the Wentworth Point Peninsula and Rhodes Peninsula, where there's higher density living over there. But yes, we've had a bit of movement into the electorate in recent times. So approximately 113,000 electors.
Well, Fiona, we sincerely thank you for finding the time to be on SBS Greek Radio, and hopefully we can talk to you again after the election.
Thank you so much. It's always my pleasure to speak to SBS, but especially the Greek community radio station. Thank you so much, Eskaristo, and see you at the other side.
Κάντε like, μοιραστείτε, σχολιάστε, ακολουθήστε μας στο Facebook, στο SBS Greek.